Hi, this is Dr. Margaret Paul, and welcome to the Loving Parenting Teleseminar. I'm going to talk about basically two main issues regarding loving parenting. Loving parenting means, number one, being there for your children, and number two, being there for yourself. So let's talk first about being there for your children. The first thing that's so important in being there for your children is that you're present. And being present means that you're not in your head, you're not in your mind, you're not thinking about the past or thinking about the future or thinking about something else. That when you're with your children, you're really there, really present, really with your children. There's nothing that makes a child feel unimportant than not being there. Nothing like not being there that makes that child feel very, very unimportant. Like that child isn't even worth you paying attention. And so one of the most important things is to practice being present in your body, in your heart, in your soul, in your feelings, not in your mind trying to control something, but really, really being there. That's one of the major things that helps children to feel cared for, is when a parent is present. And it's actually more important to spend maybe less time with the child. Like if all you have is a half an hour to really spend good time with the child, but in that half an hour you're completely and totally present with that child, no phones, you're not thinking of other things, that actually gives more to the child than spending a whole day with the child but being busy and never being present with the child. Now, the second thing that is extremely important in being there for children is mirroring their essence. And what this means is that you're letting them know who they really are inside. Most parents spend a lot of time mirroring the woundedness of the child, what the child's doing wrong. But all this does is make the child feel that he or she is just not good enough. And what you want to consciously do is mirror what's beautiful about your children, what's wonderful, what's incredible, what's creative, what's kind, what's loving, what's unique, what just fills your heart with joy about that child. And the more you are able to genuinely feel that in your own heart about what's wonderful about your child and let your child know that, the easier it's going to be for your child to truly know who he or she is. This is one of the major issues that people grow up with, is that they don't know who they are. What's been mirrored to them is what's wrong with them, what's not good enough about them, where they make mistakes, where they fail, where they mess up. They get punished for what they do wrong. And so they grow up believing that who they are is inadequate and not good enough, and that that's really who they are. When in reality, who they are, who we are inside, is a perfect, unique manifestation of spirit. And this is what we need to be mirroring to our children, the perfection, the beauty, the magnificence that's within them, so that they can grow up knowing how wonderful they are. It makes all the difference in the world when a child has really been seen by parents than when parents are projecting their own woundedness onto the child. And so this is the second very, very, very important thing to be letting your children know. The third thing is being authentic. Children are very sensitive to what's not real in their parents. And so it's disconcerting to them. It makes them not trust themselves because, for example, if your child says to you, you seem angry, and you say, I'm not angry, that discounts a child's perception. And it makes the child learn not to trust their own inner experience. And so it's vital to be authentic. If a child says, you seem angry, maybe you're not aware of being angry, you could go inside. You could say, well, you know, maybe not exactly angry, but I am upset. And just be honest, be authentic. There's no point in hiding what's really going on inside of us, because if you all think back to when you were kids, you knew what was going on. And it was very difficult if you had parents that denied your reality and you learned not to trust your own reality. And so it's vital that we honor our children's perceptions and are authentic with them. Now, the fourth thing in loving parenting and being there for our children is setting consistent limits. It doesn't make a child feel safe when you say one thing and then you do another, or you say you're going to do something and you don't follow through on it. So be careful when you say that you're going to do something. You know, if you say to a child, if you're not ready on time, then I'm going to take you to school in your pajamas, and then the next morning the child is not ready, but you don't do it, then the child learns that he or she can't trust you, you don't mean what you say, the child doesn't have to listen to you, and it's not good for you, and it's not good for the child. So it's very important that you not say you're going to do something unless you're really prepared to do it. And so when you set a limit or you set a consequence, make sure that it's something that you really believe in and something that you really want to follow through on. Now, the next thing that's so important in loving parenting is for you to be in an intention to learn with your children. And this means that you need to be learning about yourself as well as about them. If they approach you with something that they want to know about or they're experiencing, it's vital for you to be open to what's going on for them, and it's vital for you to be open to how it's affecting you and to consistently be learning about you and be learning about them. That's what keeps the heart open. And, of course, having your heart open is what enables you to feel loving to your children and what enables your children to feel loved by you. So consistently choosing an intention to learn about yourself, intention to learn with your guidance about what's loving to your children, and an intention to learn about them is vital for them to feel important and loved by you. The next thing is your willingness to let go of control, and this is a hard one for most parents. In fact, many parents believe that it is their job to be in control. But there's a huge difference between setting a limit, in other words, setting a limit for yourself, what you're going to do, like if you say to a child, I'm available to put you to bed at 8 o'clock, and after that I'm not going to be available. That's your limit. That's an appropriate thing if that's what you want. And that's different than trying to control a child. Trying to control a child is, you better be in bed at 8 o'clock or, you know, this is what's going to happen to you. Nobody likes being controlled. Everybody hates being controlled. And what happens when we try and control a child is that because they're smaller than we are, they may give in, we may get our way, but the child doesn't feel loved when you're trying to control, and the child will create some resistance, usually in another area that will really, really bug you. So, for example, if you get control for, you know, of maybe your child going to bed at a certain time, and your child does get in bed and get ready and get in bed at that time through some form of intimidation, yelling, screaming, threatening, that child may give in, but will probably resist in another area that may be really important to you, may resist by not learning well in school, or may resist by becoming anorexic, or something else, some other form of resistance. usually a child will find some form of resistance that's really, really upsetting to the parent because they hate being controlled. And it's just what happens when you try and control a child is that they don't learn appropriate self-discipline. You're the one that's disciplining. When I was raising my kids, I also had a stepson, and he came to live with us when he was 15. And when I was raising my kids, we gave them a lot of responsibility for themselves. And one of the things we gave them responsibility for was getting themselves ready for bed. They knew what time we were going to be available to hug them and kiss them and read to them and play with them. They knew that after that time, we weren't going to be available, and they could stay up as late as they wanted, but they had to stay in their room, no TV, and they couldn't bother anybody. And they learned very fast that they didn't like staying up late because they were tired, and they did like getting tucked in at night. And so they would actually come to us and say, you know, I'm ready for bed, come tuck me in. And we never had any hassles over bedtime. But when my stepson came at 15, he had had a mother that was completely controlling. She was telling him everything to do and when to do it. And so he didn't know when he was tired. He had no sense of what was going on inside of him because she had said to him, you know, this is when you go to bed, and this is when you get up, and this is what you do. And he had no sense of responsibility about himself. And so after a couple months of being with us, he was bleary-eyed because he couldn't get himself to bed on time. And he said, you guys have to tell me when to go to bed. And I said to him, I don't tell my three-year-old when to go to bed. She knows what time it's important for her to get in bed. She knows that at that time she's going to get hugged and kissed. And she makes sure that she's ready at that time. And you got to figure it out. You got to figure out when you're tired. You got to start tuning in and figure out when you're tired so that you're not so bleary-eyed. Well, eventually he did do that, and eventually he learned to take responsibility for himself. It was hard for him. So when a parent is always trying to control and setting the limits about what a child has to do, that child just doesn't learn about supporting their own highest good. And so the next part of loving parenting is being a role model of personal responsibility. Your children learn from what you do far more than they learn from what you say. Now, if you're expecting them to take care of themselves and do well in school and get their teeth brushed and all that, but you're not taking responsibility for yourself, you're not eating well, you're not getting exercise, you don't get up on time, you're late, your house is disorganized, you're just not taking care of things, there's no way that they're going to really learn to do it. You're the role model. So if you want them to be personally responsible, then it's up to you to be a role model of personal responsibility. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about being a loving parent is learning to follow your own inner knowing, your own higher guidance regarding what is in your highest good and their highest good. And this is just so very important. When I was little, my mother read in, you know, the books that were out at that time, Spock and other books, you're supposed to let a baby cry. It's good for babies' lungs to let them cry. So she would let me scream and scream, and of course it's one of the worst things that you can let a baby do, and any mother who's tuned in knows that because it feels horrible inside. When a baby cries, if you're listening to yourself, you just want to go and pick that baby up. And my mother told me that she would sit there just holding herself as tight as she could and gritting her teeth because she wanted to come and pick me up. But Dr. Spock had said it's good to let babies cry. And, of course, now we know that all it does is make them feel alone and abandoned and unloved and insecure, and it's just not a loving way to parent. But at that time, she had no idea that she was supposed to be trusting herself. And today, there's still all kinds of child rearing theories around, people telling you you should do it this way, you should do it that way, and some of them are very helpful. But what I want to encourage all of you to do is go inside and see how it feels. See what you feel about it. And go to your higher guidance, tune into your higher self, and ask, is this in my highest good? And is this in the highest good in my child? Is this what's really loving? And so learning to trust yourself, learning to tune in to that inner voice of guidance that is in all of us, to tune into your feelings of what feels right, to tune into that higher voice that says, this is what's loving, is vitally important. It's so important not to give your authority away to somebody that says, well, I know how to raise kids, because, you know, there's so many authorities out there, and there's so many different ways of raising kids, and there's so many different kinds of kids. And what may be loving for one kid might not be loving for the other. And the only way you're going to know that is to really tune in and trust yourself. So those are some of the things that are important regarding being there for your children. And now I want to talk about the other half of good parenting, which is being there for yourself. And the reason that this is so very important is that, again, you're the role model for your children. And if you don't know how to take responsibility for yourself, they're not going to learn how to take responsibility for themselves. There are many parents who do a great job of being there for their children's feelings, of supporting their children, but they do a really lousy job of being there for themselves, being there for their own feelings, and supporting their own highest good. And what happens is that they're the role models. And even though the children may have gotten a lot of love from the parents, if they didn't see the parents loving themselves, then they figure, well, if the parent is not lovable enough to love themselves, they must not be lovable either. Or they figure, well, if the parent's not taking care of themselves and expecting somebody else to do it, well, maybe I'm not responsible for myself and somebody else should be taking care of me. Or my parent is caretaking everybody else instead of taking care of themselves. Maybe that's my job and I should be taking care of everybody else instead of taking care of myself. So if you're not present for yourself, if you really have not done your inner work, your inner bonding work, which is what we teach in inner bonding, is to, in step one, is to be present inside your body, to be present for your own feelings so that you can take responsibility for them. If you don't know how to be out of your head and into your body and present for yourself, you're not going to do very well of being present for your children. If you don't know your own essence, if you haven't done the inner work of learning who you are and how wonderful and incredible and magnificent your own soul essence is, then it makes it a whole lot harder to really see and value the beauty within your children. We tend to project onto our children what we think is wrong with us. And so if you're in a lot of self-judgment and you think there's a lot wrong with you, there's probably no way that you're not projecting that onto your children. So learning to define your own worth, learning to take responsibility for your own sense of safety, your own happiness, your own joy, is one of the very, very best gifts that you can give to your children, because then you can see them and role model them taking responsibility for their worth and their happiness and their joy. When you're unable to be authentic with yourself, when you're judgmental and not accepting of yourself, then it makes it really hard to be authentic with your children, and it makes it very hard to be accepting of them rather than judgmental. Judgmentalness towards a child is not loving. One of my young clients said to me recently, I'm working with this young man, and he's had a hard time feeling good about himself. One of the major things that he says to himself is, I'm not good enough. And one of the things he remembers as a little boy is his father yelling at him a lot. And in our work, he recalled one time his father yelling at him, saying to himself, well, I just must not be good enough. I just must be messing up all the time. I'm just not good enough. And so this was the conclusion that he drew, that he's carried around with him in his growing up years, that's made it very, very hard for him to reach out to others and hard for him to succeed in school because he's constantly telling himself that he's not good enough. And so when we judge ourselves, when we're not accepting of ourselves, we tend to project that out, and that judgment comes out at our children, and then they absorb that, and they end up believing that there's something wrong with them, that they're not good enough. Now, when we can't set consistent limits because we need our children's approval, that is not loving to them, and that is not loving to us. If you're not doing your inner work and you're not giving yourself the approval and not valuing yourself, then you're in the position of trying to get your children's approval, trying to make sure they love you. And this may lead to you being an indulgent parent rather than a loving parent, because a loving parent does set consistent limits, does not allow their fear of the child disapproving of them to get in the way of what they really believe is in the highest good of themselves and their children. And so if you're not doing your inner work and learning to value yourself and love yourself and give yourself the approval, you probably are not going to be able to do a very good job of setting consistent limits with your children. And if you're not open to learning about your own feelings and needs, it's going to be very, very hard for you to be open to learning with your children. If you are in any way making them responsible for you, you may be teaching them that other people are responsible for them. You may be teaching them to be self-centered and entitled. When you take responsibility for their feelings, you're also teaching them that. You're not helping them learn to take responsibility for their own feelings. And so it's so vital to be open to learning about your own feelings, open to learning about taking responsibility for your own feelings and needs so that you can help them learn to do that for themselves. Now, it's going to be very hard to let go of control of your children and your need to have them be a certain way if you need them to validate you. So if you're abandoning yourself, not taking responsibility for your own feelings and needs, not taking good care of yourself, then you might need your children to validate your worth. And that's a huge burden to put on a child. And when you want them to validate your worth, then they have to look a certain way, they have to act a certain way, they have to achieve a certain amount in order to validate you. And that's when parents get into trying to control their children, is when they need their children to be a certain way in order to validate them as being good parents or validate them as being good people. So a major part of good parenting is doing your own inner work so that you learn to validate yourself and you do not need your children to validate you. And if you're not doing your inner work, then you're not going to be in touch with your own feelings. You're not going to be in touch with your own higher guidance. You're not going to know when you're truly being loving or controlling. You're not going to know when you're abandoning yourself or your children. And so it's just so vital, such a vital part of loving parenting is to be doing your own inner work. Your children learn through experiencing you. And if you learn to take responsibility for your own feelings and needs, they'll learn this too. But if you're a victim and you're abandoning yourself and not taking that responsibility, that's what they're going to learn too. So one of the most powerful things you can do to be a loving parent is to learn the inner bonding practice and to practice it throughout the day, to make it a part of your life so that you truly are daily practicing taking responsibility for yourself and being that role model. Now, children of all ages can actually learn the inner bonding process. It's not very hard. But they're not going to take it into their lives if you don't. And so the more you bring that into your life as a practice, the easier it is to teach it to them. In fact, they sort of absorb it from seeing you do your own inner bonding practice. It's very easy if you're really listening to your feelings and connecting to your own guidance to help them listen to their feelings and connect to their own guidance and take responsibility for their thoughts that are creating their feelings. But if you're not doing it and you try and teach them to do it, there's no way that that's going to work. So before we get into questions, I just want to take a couple of minutes to encourage all of you to become members of our website. Our membership community is a very loving and compassionate community, very helpful with helping you to learn to take responsibility for your feelings, to learn the inner bonding process, and to keep it up. You know, with any kind of practice, it's hard to do it on our own. Most of us need connection with other people to keep on doing our practice. And so the website is a way to have that kind of support, to have daily support, to go on, to read articles, to participate in the chats, to ask questions. Erica and I answer your questions and other facilitators answer the questions. You get a lot of help that you need in order to keep up the inner bonding practice. You get help with your parenting, your relationships, addictions, all the issues that you're dealing with. So I truly want to encourage you. It's really the best deal in town for $14.95 a month to get that kind of caring and compassion and attention and be able to ask the questions that you have and to get answers. Many of you have asked questions here on the webinar that I might not get to tonight. But if you're a member, you can ask the question on the site, and we will be answering every question that you ask. And there's the discussion boards, there's groups, there's just so many ways of receiving help. And so I want to encourage all of you to check that out. We have seven free days, and so you can check it out and see if it's something that you think will be of benefit to you. And if you cancel within the 7 days, then you don't get charged anything. So I'm going to move into questions. I'm going to start with a couple questions that people have written in, and then I'm going to open up the line and see what kind of questions you have. So Pam in Seattle asks, what's the best way to approach touchy subjects with older teens, such as concerns about maintaining a healthy weight and exercising? So here is where it's so important to truly be conscious of your intention when you're approaching a teenager. Is your intention in talking about this subject to have control over getting them to eat right and maintain a healthy weight and getting them to exercise? Or is your intention really to learn about what might be in the way for them? Are they using food as a protection against feelings of aloneness or inner abandonment or helplessness or loneliness that they don't know how to deal with? What is the real issue here? And so if you're going to approach an adolescent about things like exercise or healthy eating, I really want to encourage you to do it from a deep place of compassion, a deep place of caring about your child, not just trying to get them to do it the way you want them to do it or the way you think would be healthy for them to do it, but to really explore why wouldn't they want to support their own health? What else is more important to them other than their health? Is it more important to them to avoid feelings that they don't know how to manage? Because this is usually what's behind unhealthy eating, overweight, is avoiding using food or using any addictions to avoid feelings that somebody has not learned how to manage. And so if you have a child that you see is eating badly or overeating, you might want to approach it from a position of, you know, I'm wondering if there's some feelings going on that you need to talk about that you don't know how to handle, and see if that child is willing to talk to you. Now, not every child is going to be. They might say, it's none of your business, or get off my back, or leave me alone. They might be very resistant. Very often an adolescent feels invaded when you think that their weight or their exercise is any of your business. And so you may need to back off. You may need to just love that child as best you can, with as much love as you can bring into your heart and soul. And when there's an opening to maybe talk about some feelings that you think might be going on, that may be helpful. But if that child doesn't want to talk to you, you can't make them. You can't have control over whether anybody lets you in on what's going on for them. So Adrian in Portland writes, is there anything I can give my children that will also heal my feelings of loneliness? Well, the first thing you would have to do is check in and see whether the feeling that you're trying to heal is loneliness or the feeling you're trying to heal is aloneness, because these are two very different feelings. Loneliness comes about when we have a lot of love in our heart and we want to share that love with somebody and that person's not available, or there's nobody around to share love with. And if you were really, if you really have an open heart and you have a lot of love to share, you can always share that with your children. And the chances are, if you are sharing that, you're not going to feel lonely. So I'm going to make the assumption that what you're talking about is healing your feelings of aloneness. And aloneness is the feeling we get when we have abandoned ourselves, when we're disconnecting from ourselves, when we're ignoring our feelings, when we're staying in our head instead of our heart, when we're judging ourselves, when we're turning to various addictions rather than take responsibility for our feelings, when we're handing our feelings away to somebody else and hoping that they're going to take care of us in some way. These are all forms of self-abandonment, and these forms of self-abandonment are going to lead to feelings of aloneness inside. There's nothing that you can give to your children that is going to heal feelings of aloneness. What you need to do is learn how to bring love into yourself. Learn how to connect with your guidance, your spiritual guidance. Learn how to tap into that infinite source of love and bring that love in. Learn how to take responsibility for your feelings. In other words, to practice the inner bonding process. And as you practice this process, your feelings of aloneness will go away and you will get filled up with love, which then you can share with your children. So it's not up to your children to heal anything within you. It's up to you to heal that aloneness within yourself and then be able to share your love with your children. So I'm going to unmute and ask if there's anybody who would like to ask a question or do a little bit of work with me on the phone right now. Has that unmuted? Unmute all guests. Uh-oh. Well, I'm concerned that, let me see, how can I mute. Okay. So what I'd like you to do if you want to talk is press 7, and let's see if that works. Star 7. Press star 7. Is anybody pressing star 7?
Hello?
Yes, there we go.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me as well?
Okay, yes, good. Okay, so that's worked. Did you press star 7?
I did.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
I did. Okay, do I need to go back on mute?
No, no. I'd like somebody to ask a question, and then when I go to answer, you can press star 6 to mute while I'm answering the question. So does anybody have a question to ask?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead. What's your name, honey?
Hi, my name is Yvonne. I'm glad
to speak
with you. I have a son who's 14 years old living with his dad, and he's been living with his dad full-time for 1 year, and I don't see him much because he lives in a different city, but we speak regularly on the telephone, and he seems to be doing well. I see him maybe once every second month.
Okay.
And he's happy with that, and we have a very good relationship, and he needed to be with his father. So for 2 years, like from 12 to 14, we worked on this together, and he accepted to go with his father, which is great. And I'm very present with him. Our relationship is very good. I've done my inner work, and I teach him how to do his also.
Uh-huh.
And when we're together, it's very nourishing. Now, his father is afraid that this boy is missing physical contact with his mom, the hugs and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know, I'm feeling guilty that I'm not giving him what he needs. But then again, I think that he should ask me what he needs. I feel guilt that I'm not a good parent. I don't know.
Okay, so let's just do some brief work on this. So when you feel a feeling of guilt, see, our feelings are our inner guidance, and our feelings are letting us know when our thoughts are in alignment with what's true and what's in our highest good, and when our thoughts are out of alignment. So I'd like you to take a moment and tune into the feeling of guilt right now, and just breathe into that feeling of guilt. And wonder what, you know, that you're a bad parent. And I'd like you to see if you can notice what you're saying to yourself. What are the words you're saying to yourself that create the feeling of guilt? Is it, I'm a bad parent?
No. I'm sad. I miss him so much.
Okay, now that's not going to create guilt.
No.
You miss him? Of course you miss him. You're sad. You miss him. But that is not going to create the feeling of guilt. What is it you're saying that's creating the feeling of guilt?
I'm not doing enough for him.
That's it. I'm not doing enough for him. Now, the fact that when you say, I'm not doing enough for him, you have a feeling of guilt means the guilt is telling you that that statement is not true. If that statement were true, you would not be feeling guilty. If that statement were coming from your higher guidance rather than from your wounded self, if your higher guidance were saying to you, you know, you're not doing enough for your son, you need to be doing this, this, and this, you wouldn't be feeling guilt. You would be feeling, oh, well, that's interesting, or that's great to know, or I'm happy you told me that. It would not be a feeling of guilt. The fact that you feel guilt means that the statement is not coming from a source of truth. It's coming from the wounded part of you that's making it up. The wounded part of us just makes up stuff and acts as if it's true. So I really want to encourage you to stop telling yourself that you're not doing enough for him. How do you think you would feel if you stopped saying that to yourself?
I'm loving with him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And your guilt isn't doing you any good, and your guilt is not doing him any good. When you say that he's doing fine and you end up seeing him, you know, every 6 weeks or so, and when you talk to him, he seems fine, then the statement, I'm not doing enough for him, is not actually a true statement.
It is not. It's coming from his father.
Coming from
okay.
his father, okay.
His father is telling me that I'm not doing enough for him. And I'm believing that. That's terrible.
That, yes, and so that's what I was saying before about not allowing somebody else to be the authority for you. If you go to your higher guidance right now, and whatever that is for you, just open to higher information and ask, is that a true statement that I'm not doing enough for my son?
It is not. It is not. I've done my best with my son, and he's okay, and he's fulfilling himself in a beautiful way. He's being with his dad, and I'm allowing him to be happy with what he needs.
Wonderful.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Now, do you see, honey, the good feeling you have right now
yes.
is letting you know that now your thinking is on the right track.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, because I woke up like 2 mornings ago in a sweat, anxious and all this, but now it's beautiful. It's just going to be transformed.
Oh, I'm very, very happy to hear that. That's excellent.
Thank you.
So is there anybody else that would like to ask a question?
Yes.
Okay.
The previous caller, they sound like they have it sewed together, but I think my case is more of a mess, and I can't seem to. I guess the word I feel is kind of like overwhelmed.
Okay.
I joined the website a couple weeks ago, and I've gone out there, and I've just been, you know, feverishly, you know, just reading. Just there's so much information on the website that it's just mind boggling. And
we try really hard to give you a lot of information.
It's really great, and I even got the book, you know, Healing Your Aloneness.
Oh,
but
good.
When we were speaking today, I've got a daughter that is 13. And
you got a daughter that what, honey?
She's 13. 13 years old.
Oh, 13. Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things that you were saying is that we need to be a role model of personal responsibility.
Right.
And that's something that I have not been lately, and I'm trying to figure out how to I'm having to learn so much myself about the self-abandonment that I'm going through. I'm going through a whole lot, and I really feel overwhelmed, and I've been on the website, and I'm starting to read and learn a little bit, but in the midst of a lot of emotional stuff that I've been going through, I know that I haven't been there for her like she needs me to be.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like I'm so behind, and I've got so many issues that I don't have enough time to get myself together and be able to get her to where she needs to be too, because a lot of the self-abandonment and the wounded things that I have, I project on her, and so now I feel like I'm really damaging her, and I don't. It just seems like
I'm hearing you say a lot of things to yourself that's causing you to feel overwhelmed. I'm hearing you say, I have to get it all together now. I don't have enough time to do it. It's going to be too late. I'm damaging her. And you're really, really putting a lot of pressure on yourself, which is what the wounded part of us does. And so when you get, you know, again, like we were saying about the guilt, overwhelm is the same kind of feeling. Overwhelm is letting you know, that feeling is letting you know that there's something off track in your thinking, that that you're telling yourself these things like, I don't have enough time, or it's going to be too late, or I'm damaging her. But this is your wounded self making these things up. Honey, it's my experience, because I went through a lot of changes and a lot of stuff, and my daughter was 12 before I even understood anything about personal responsibility. One of the things I can tell you is that it's not at all too late. You actually have a lot of time. Your daughter's only 13. You have time here to learn the inner bonding process. You have time to learn how to take responsibility for your feelings. You have time to become a role model for her. And right now I'd like you to just take a deep breath. kind of let go of all the pressure that you're putting on yourself, because I'm hearing that it does create a kind of frantic feeling of overwhelm. And I'd like you to just for a moment see if you can tune in to your higher self, your higher guidance, just open to the love and the wisdom and the information and the light that's here for you right now. And ask whether what I'm saying is accurate. Ask whether you're in a process now, and whether just the fact that you're devoted to it and that you're you've only been doing this for 2 weeks, but you're here on the call and you're on the website and you're devoted to learning how to take care of yourself. Ask if you have the time. Are you asking?
I feel like I don't feel like I have enough time.
No, but that's your wounded self, honey. That really is your wounded self. I'd like you to see if you can really move into your heart and open to your guidance as to whether you have enough time to learn how to take care of yourself so that your daughter can learn to do the same thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you feel when you tell yourself that?
I feel like there's hope.
That's right. And the hope, the feeling of hope, lets you know that you're now thinking in ways that are much more truthful. You're getting yourself on the right track. You're getting yourself in alignment. So I want to encourage you that whenever you feel the overwhelm, to take a look at the fact that you're telling yourself something that's not accurate. Now, you also might want to consider getting some facilitation, because it sounds like that you are having a lot happen to you right now, that there's a lot going on for you, that there's a lot that's creating some pain and anxiety, and we don't have to do it all by ourselves. We can get support.
And I guess that's part of the overwhelming feeling that I've had, because I was like, well, maybe I need therapy. So I, went through, calling, they have a line at work and they, they'll recommend people. But I'm like, I love what I'm learning from the website and what I read in your book. And I'm like, if I get a therapist, will they know what you know? They may not know it, and I want to know.
No, but we have many, many facilitators on the website. And, we even offer, it depends on what people can afford, but we have some people who are working for free for people who can't, afford to pay anything. And then we have a facilitator that's charging $35 a session, and then it goes up from there. And so if you need a referral, just email me. Let me know what your financial situation is.
Thank you so much. I never even pursued it because I know I saw something where it was like $50 or $600 for what, and I was like, man, I need this help so bad, but I couldn't afford it, so I was trying.
No, I understand that, honey, but the help really is available for you. It's one of the things that we do offer on the website is we try to make help available to anybody who's needing help. And so just email me at margaret@innerbonding.com. And let me know, if you need free facilitation or if there's some amount that you can pay, and I'll give you a referral.
I thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to ask a question? Okay, well, then I'm going to look at the questions I have here. So Craig from Melbourne. Craig, are you on the line? anyway, Craig says, I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 75-year-old mother, a half-time carer for two other kids, ages 8 and 15, boys. Often when my mother visits, she offers parenting advice to my daughter, not to me, about my daughter's behavior. Often how her behavior makes her grandmother feel hurt, that is, for not saying thank you for a small gift she has given her. I want everyone to care respectfully for themselves, but intergenerational crossfire is a dangerous place for me to be. Any pointers? Again, thanks for your wonderful words of kindness and wisdom. So, Craig, it's always a difficult situation when an older generation is trying to impose their views and trying to make your children feel guilty and responsible. Obviously, she's trying to, your mother is trying to make your daughter feel responsible for her feelings, so that if your daughter doesn't say thank you, she's responsible for your mother's hurt. And that's not how you're raising your children. So one of the things that I want to suggest to you, since it's not going to do any good at all to talk to your mother, one of the things I want to suggest to you is to talk to your daughter and to help your daughter understand that your mother has no idea about the concept of taking responsibility for her own feelings. And so she's blaming your daughter for her feelings. And what you want to explain to your daughter is to not take it personally, that this is who her grandmother is, this is what she's going to do, to be kind and caring because your mother is doing the best that she can do, but to help your daughter to not take it in and not take it personally. This is what I had to do with my kids because my parents raised me completely different than I raised my kids and did a lot of the things that you're talking about your mother does, where, I mean, my mother was just made everybody responsible for her feelings. And so certainly she did it with my kids. And I just helped my kids to say, you know, that's just who they are. They don't know how to do it any better. They're never going to learn how to do it any better. But it doesn't mean that it's your fault. It doesn't mean that you need to take in that you're doing anything wrong. You know, if it really gets difficult, you can come to me and talk to me about it. Or you can learn to speak up and say, you know, that doesn't feel good when you say that to me. I don't like it. And to help them learn to take care of themselves. But it's your daughter that you need to speak to. It's not your mother. Your mother is not going to understand any of what you're trying to tell her. Okay, is there anybody else that has a question to ask? If not, I'll go on with some of the questions here. Okay, so Kate from Ann Arbor asks, how do you begin to imagine a loving parent when you haven't had a lot of exposure to a loving parent? Well, this is what the inner bonding process is about. It's about you learning to go to your higher self, your higher guidance, for the role modeling of what it looks like to be a loving parent. This is what I had to do. I had no role modeling of loving parenting. I didn't know anybody who was a loving parent, and yet it was vitally important to me to be a loving parent to my three children. So I knew I couldn't rely on my parents' role modeling. I mean, there wasn't anybody I knew, and it's not like, my older child is 42 now, so at that time, there weren't great books out either on loving parenting. But fortunately, I was, even at that time, pretty tuned in to my own intuition and my own inner guidance. And basically, I would go inside and ask, you know, what is loving in this situation? It's one of the most powerful questions that we can learn to ask for both ourselves and our children. What is the loving thing for me in this situation? What is in my highest good? What is the loving thing for my children in this situation? What is in their highest good? And by asking the question, you're putting out, you know, it's like you're reaching out to the love and the wisdom that is always here for us. And truly an answer will pop into your mind, an image. It may be an image, it may be words, it may be a feeling, it may be that you'll pick up a book and you'll see the answer, it may be that you're talking to somebody and the answer will come from them. But when you ask the question from a sincere intention to learn, what is loving in this situation, you will get answers and you will start to understand more about what loving is. So, again, I'm wondering if there's anybody else that has a question. You can push star 7 if you would like to ask a question. Yes?
I have a question.
Okay, you have to talk a little bit louder.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, thanks. You spoke about, you know, children seeing you take responsibility for yourself and that kind of modeling. So I'm wondering what exactly that means. Does that mean that as you speak to them, you're talking out loud so they hear your thoughts out loud? Like, oh, I'm feeling this. I wonder what I'm telling myself, that kind of a thing? Or is there a different way?
You mean as far as your children seeing it?
Yeah, as far as modeling it for other people and them seeing you do it for yourself.
You know, they're going to pick it up energetically.
Okay.
You see, it's not like you have to do anything in particular. Sometimes they may see you dialoguing. They may not. But they're going to pick it up energetically. Just like if you think about, like many of you had parents who saw themselves as victims and they didn't take responsibility, you picked that up. You know, they didn't have to, like, say anything. You just picked up the energy of it. But if you're actually taking responsibility for yourself, it's just going to come out in your words. It's going to come out in your actions. And at some point, you can, you know, teach your children the inner bonding process. Kids as young as 3 or 4 have learned it and have learned that, you know, their thoughts create their feelings, have learned to go to, you know, a fairy godmother or an inner coach or, you know, an older, wiser self within them for the information that they need. But as far as you role modeling it, it's just role modeling how you live your life in terms of taking responsibility, making yourself happy. If they see you happy, if they see you really loving your life and sharing your love with them and with others, they're going to pick up on it. They're going to recognize that. Does that answer the question for you?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have a question they'd like to ask? We have a few more minutes here. Anybody else? Okay. So I'll go ahead with another question here. I think we have time for one more question. This is John from Northern Michigan. My adult son, now 32 years old, has chosen not to communicate with me due to emotional relational issues in his childhood and adolescence when he was dependent and unable to express his anger at me, his father. Should I continue to make apologies and overtures of love and acceptance to him or wait for him, like the prodigal son, to come to his senses and return to his father who has love and forgiveness in abundance, ready to run to him and welcome him home? John, I really suggest that you wait for him. You need to back off. The fact that he, at 32, is still blaming you means that he has not yet learned to take responsibility for himself. You apologizing to him, I mean, while it's fine to apologize to our children when we know that we've messed up, but usually once is enough. And if he's not ready to take that in, if he's holding a grudge, if he's afraid or whatever it is that's going on for him, you need to back off. You need to let him go through whatever process he's going to go through. And you need to take care of yourself. You have little John inside. You have a little boy who you need to be attending to, who's probably sad and grief that your son is not connecting with you. You need to be bringing love to little John and learning what it means to truly take responsibility for him and utilize this time away from your son to learn this, to learn the inner bonding process, learn how to take care of yourself. It's one of the very, very best things that you can do for yourself and for the relationship with your son is to do your own inner work. And surprisingly, as you do this inner work and you back off and let go and stop trying to control your son in any way or get him to connect to you and really take responsibility for yourself, I wouldn't be surprised if that leads to your son reaching out to you, because energy is non-local, and when he picks up that you're You're not trying to control him. You're taking care of yourself. That creates the safety for him to open back up to you. So that's what I would suggest that you do. So I'd like to thank all of you for joining me. I've really enjoyed answering the questions, and I've enjoyed speaking with those of you that have asked questions. I once again want to encourage you to take a look at the website and take advantage of our 7 free days and see all that we have to offer. So I wish all of you a good evening.
To you too. God bless you.
Thank you.